Good afternoon. Welcome to another daily devotion. This is episode 164. It's great to be together to open up God's word and see what he has to say for another day. But before we do that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, which is rich and true. Thank you that it is pure and good and holy. And we pray, Lord, that as we turn to it, you would feed us with the bread of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been working our way through the Gospel of Matthew, and yesterday we looked at John the Baptist preparing the way, and today we look at the temptation of Jesus Christ. So we're turning to Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to read the first 11 verses. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Makes sense. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Yesterday, when we looked at the baptism of Jesus, one of the things we commented on was that primarily it was about Jesus being identified with sinners, taking upon himself their sin. Today we see something a little bit similar. You see, one of the questions that we have to ask ourselves when we run into passages like this is, what is it all about? Maybe you've heard many sermons and maybe children's Sunday school lessons about the temptation of Jesus. And very often they go the same way. We hear Jesus arguing with the devil. We hear Jesus defending himself and using the word of God. And the conclusion is normally one of two things. When you are tempted, you need to be very careful how you answer the devil. When you are tempted, you need to use the word of God. The devil is a liar. Be very careful when you listen to him. You must compare what you hear with the word of God. All of those things are true. All of those things are useful. All of those things are beneficial. However, it's not the point. It's a point. It's a sub point. It is a lesson to be gleaned from the passage, but it's not the point of the text. Why do we get the temptation of Jesus in the Bible? Is it just so that we can learn how not to fall to temptation? Well, there, as I said, there is some of that truth, but that's not why we have this. We have this for a very express reason. Why is it that the gospel writers, straight after the baptism of Jesus, record for us the temptation of Jesus? I mean, yes, it's a historical reality. One happened after the other. But there's something more important than that. So Jesus has just been identified with sinners. And then he gets taken out and he gets exposed to a very particular temptation. Very particular temptation. What's going on? Now, think for a second about the types of temptations he gets exposed to. He's tempted to make some stones into bread. He's tempted to take matters into his own hands and not trust God. And that's what his answer reflects, doesn't it? The devil says to him, if you are the Son of God, of course he is, if you truly are divine, use your power to your own gain. Use your own power to your own gain and feed yourself. What's the implication of that? What does the implication of that say about God? God won't provide for you. God doesn't love you. God doesn't provide for you, and he doesn't love you, so you need to look after yourself. You need to look after, number one, you need to feed yourself. You've been 40 days without food. God's not going to do it. You need to sort it out yourself. Then see the second temptation. Take them up on the temple, and he says, throw yourself down. God will catch you. What's the temptation about? Well, he's being tempted as to whether he will put on a show. He says, what do you mean? Well, if Jesus was to throw himself down from the temple, what would happen? Well, everyone would see these angels swoop down and catch him. And everyone would turn. The problem is, it's not following God's way, is it? You see, he's being tempted to not trust God. God has said, this is the path that we have to take, my son. The cross is the path. The cross is the path. The Calvary road is the path to salvation. And he's being tempted to not trust God in that path. In other words, you need to take matters into your own hands. Because God's not trustworthy. You're going to have to put on a show yourself. But then notice the last temptation. Jesus is offered everything. Satan takes him up on the peak and he shows him everything in the world. And he says, all of this is mine. And in a sense, he's true. All of this is mine. The Bible says that he is the king of the prince of the power of the air. And he's the king of this world, it says. That sense of ownership because of what was handed to him in the garden. And he's offering all of it to Jesus if he just does one thing. Bend the knee. Give up the path that God has set. Give up worshipping God. Give up following God. And follow the devil. And it's all yours. And of course, every single time, Jesus rebuffs the devil with the word of God. But what's really going on? What is this all about? Why the temptations? Why did the Holy Spirit inspire the gospel writers to record this? Well, it's not the first temptation in a garden, isn't it? And in the same way that the baptism of Jesus was his being associated with sinners, there's something similar going on here. Jesus is not being identified with sinners, but he's being identified with a person, with a time period, and with a garden. Do you remember the first garden? What was the temptation? Jesus, God doesn't love you. God doesn't care for you. God has withheld fruit from you. So you need to take the fruit and eat it yourself. Because he doesn't provide. You can't trust God. He's lying to you. So you better take matters into your own hands. Don't take the path he's set for you. You can become a God like him. If maybe he didn't say worship, but if you just eat the fruit, you'll become like him. Knowing the difference between good and evil. You see, the temptation Jesus faced is just a different form of the exact same temptation. Adam and Eve were tempted in the garden.
and failed, and were expelled into the wilderness. Jesus Christ went from the garden of heaven into the wilderness to be tempted like Adam and Eve. You see, the Bible calls Adam the first Adam and Jesus the second Adam. Jesus came to succeed where Adam failed. Jesus came to succeed where Adam failed. And time and time and time again throughout the gospel, what you see is Jesus succeeding where Adam failed. Adam failed in everything. And Jesus succeeded in everything. And so Adam, who brought everybody into death and condemnation, in the same way Jesus is the one through whom everybody is brought into life, all who believe in him. See, this temptation is ultimately not about temptation. It's not about how we should deal with a temptation. I mean, we can learn lessons about that. It's great. We need to be told the word of God will protect you. The word of God will help you when you're tempted. Beware of the devil. He goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may consume. We need to hear all that stuff. But what we must know is that Jesus is the perfect second Adam. And he succeeded where Adam failed. He did not yield. If he yields to the devil on any one of these points, our salvation is gone. Our salvation is lost. We're damned forever. But Jesus doesn't fail. Jesus succeeds. Jesus holds fast. And because he held fast, he can hold us fast. And the beautiful thing is, because of his succeeding in the garden, we get to return to a garden again. That's why in the book of Revelation, what do you find? At the end of time, as we saw, a beautiful garden. Go have a look at Revelation 21 and 22 for the daily devotions. We're back in the beautiful garden again with two beautiful trees. Trees of life. Jesus endured the wilderness, so you don't have to. Well, I guess the question for you and I then is, will we draw near by faith to the one who bore our temptations, who was baptized in our place, and who died so that we might live? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the temptation of Jesus. We thank you that Jesus succeeded where we failed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks very much for joining me for another daily devotion. It's been great to be together, great to open up God's Word. I will look forward to seeing you back here, same time, same place, tomorrow afternoon for daily devotion 165. Have a great afternoon.